Round 19 of AFL football brought us a chiller, a thriller, and a sign of the times that I think that the blue shoots are starting to sprout. This and more in this edition of the Lace Out Podcast. Welcome back, listeners. I'm Christopher Pepper, the host of the Lace Out Podcast. And once again, as I would say every Tuesday night, on iTunes, on Spotify, on the Anchor Network, what a corker of a week in football. If you weren't excited by some of the games on the weekend, I know I was, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But I think the final eight has shaped itself. I really think that we've got to the point now that teams are locked in, except for one. We're going to touch on them first of all, but I'm not going to do it myself. After last week, there was a multitude of feedback saying, get that bloke back on. We had the Love Machine a couple of weeks ago, but they wanted the J-Dog back. And J-Dog is back again. Jamie Wallace, welcome again to the Lace Out Podcast. You were a fan favourite.
Thanks for having me. Pep's back on the podcast. I'm honoured to be a return guest.
Oh, like I said, you asked for the best. We couldn't find them, so we threw it out to you again, and the crowd loved you.
You couldn't get Capper on this time?
No. Cap, I'll tell you what, there's a few things in the pipeline that I don't want to let go just yet. He's not one of them just yet, but I'm just starting to get a few things organised for potentially some stuff in a few number of weeks. But I don't want to spoil it because we're here to talk about round 19 of football, and all started on Friday night. And this was going into a game where one team had been on a bit of a roll, which was Essendon. And the other team had fallen over the week before against the Gold Coast Suns, or as we like to call them, the Gold Coast Shits. Mm-hmm. And they've come out and been pantsed by the Bombers again. Did you get a chance to watch much of this?
I did. I saw the whole thing, actually, yeah.
Yep. Thoughts?
Wow, what a game. So, yeah, Essendon 15-9-109 versus Sydney 10-6-66. It was the dynasty's over.
It was crap. Sydney
the dynasty's
finished.
Over.
The dynasty is over.
Yeah.
The days of who shot JR?
Yeah.
Or was that Dallas? Was that dynasty? Doesn't matter. But anyway, they're finished. They're cooked. They are cooked. They've gone from beautiful swimming geese and ganders floating across the SCG. Mm-hmm. They now look more like those aluminium duck meals you get at a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
That's how cooked they are.
Yep.
Buddy's a shell of his former self. Their midfield's slow. The back line is leaky like a sieve. It is after 15, I think 15 years of continuous finals football.
Yep.
It's over.
Yep. Well, if you just look at it, the Swans getting beaten by 43 points. That game plan and it's an old game plan, and I think it was something very much in common with the, I think Malthouse brought it in, was down the line, and if it doesn't spill out the back to get a run into your inside 50, you'd kill it over the line and get a restart and stoppage. So that game plan down the line is over. If you look at all the big teams now, your Richmond, your Collingwoods,
Melbourne,
and even Melbourne down for sure.
Well, even Port when they decide to turn it on.
When they turn it on, but they now use the corridor. That down the line game plan doesn't work anymore.
No, I think the Sorry, keep going, mate.
No, and just the speed. I think that was probably the biggest thing from Friday night was the sheer speed of Essendon when they got out versus the Sydney slow moving game style.
And it's not going to hold up. It did hold up in finals for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won a flag with it, lost one by a point.
Yep.
And it did hold up for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people that they've been hanging their hats on for so many years, they're going. Like, you know, they're top-end talent. When I say top-end talent, they're old-end talent. They're not young anymore.
No.
Grundy's getting on. McVay's getting on. Hannabury, he's not old, but he's just... What's happened to him?
Yeah.
Even Kennedy, he's on the wane as well too. And, you know, then, and I think they've got a lot of juniors coming in. I want to say juniors, people like Heaney, you got Ronke, you've got Papley still floating around. Like Franklin's, he's injured. Everyone can concede at the moment with his foot.
Yeah,
so they've still got some stuff there.
Yeah,
at the top end, you know, when that goes, that's a lot of experience, and you can't replace that overnight.
No, and they do have.
Melbourne haven't played finals for 12, and they've been playing finals for 15. that just puts things in perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That old brigade has been so strong for so long, but that ends for everything. You know, that ends.
It does end. And on the flip side, though, look, Essendon are playing awesome football at the moment. They have left their run too late, which is kind of funny because there's nothing funnier than seeing it playing quality football and just going to fall over at the last hurdle. They do need some things to go their way, but I know. Friday night before the ball bounced, this team was sitting fourth.
Yep.
They're now ninth. And I think that's probably where they need to be. But, you know, all the week has been Hurley, Hurley, Hurley. How good was he? Took Franklin apart.
Yeah.
Franklin was far from match fit. Far from.
True.
You know, once you cross the line, you're fully fit, et cetera. I get all that. But, you know, let's wipe away all the crap. Hurley did play a good game. But I would love to see a fully fit Franklin versus a fully fit Hurley. And I can tell you now, it would be a massacre. Franklin would destroy him. Even though he's getting on in age, he would still destroy him. He excites me every time he goes near the ball. And every time I see Hurley, I want to punch him with that non-sexy man bun he's got going on.
Well, let's leave Hurley then. Let's just give you, I think in an earlier episode, you've done snaps and claps before.
Yeah.
Snaps and claps for the... Thank you very much. For the Essendon midfield, because there's no Rolls Royce really through there. Myers, Langford, those guys there, Heppel, they are clearing the ball out quite effectively and it's quick movement now. So snaps and claps to those guys.
Even the 14-year-old schoolgirl, Darcy Parrish, still gets – he picked up 26 touches on the weekend, which was exciting to see. Not for me because – but – You know what? And even the old pretzel smacker, Goddard, he had 22. And he's just doing his role at the moment too. He's got to go around again next year. Look, the bottom is it's just unfortunate that they screwed so many things up at the start of the year and they've left their run really late. But regardless of whatever happens to the Bombers, two things. They're not going to make the finals. And Jake Stringer has to live with those shit tats on his chest. Because they are woeful.
It could have been worse, Peps. It could have been worse. It could have been a massacre, couldn't it? It really could have been a massacre. 34 shots to 16 and 72 to 39 inside 50. So that could have been real bad.
It could have been real bad, but it wasn't. But you know what wasn't bad either, though?
What?
The 87,000-plus people who rocked up to the MCG for a good old 2:40 start on the on Saturday afternoon at the G for the Tigers versus the Pies.
Love it.
And... I did have a bit of a look at this game because it was Saturday afternoon. There wasn't much on. It was raining outside. So I threw on the old TV and I was loving it. I was really loving it. So I will give snaps and claps. Yeah, the Tigers were in control virtually through the whole game and they really did kick away as they normally do in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
But the Pies, they're a little bit like Essendon. You know, at the start of the season, it was a bit, but they've worked things out. And even with the number of injuries, they are playing really good football as well. Are they going to get the quality back? You know, is Treloar going to get back in time for the season? Elliott's gone and twinged his hammy again, so he's out. Rumours of De Goey not playing for the rest of the season with apparently a crack in his leg. You know, they're three guns. And if you take also out Dunn, who's done his knee, and Schoenberg, who's done his knee on the weekend, you know, there's five quality ins.
Yeah,
I know. They've got some – that they've potentially – that's what's going to cost them.
Yeah.
The thing is with Richmond, though, look, they do play great football.
Yes.
But they haven't been tested. And when I say they haven't been tested, they haven't had one of their big guns out. Mm-hmm. I think the injuries that they've had, hardly an injury setback this year, you can replace midfielders, but you can't replace a Rance and you can't replace a Riewoldt.
Yep.
If one of those two go down, then I would like to see Richmond. Who's going to fill those?
Yep.
Especially from a Rance perspective.
Yes. Yes, from the back line, for sure. For sure. But I don't think that changes for any club at all. If you lose one of your big pillars, you know, through the guts there, either your ruckman, your forward, or your backman, that completely throws out your game styles and plans because then you've got to, as Collingwood experienced on Saturday, with Howe going out early on, They had to move Mychek back there, and that just completely stuffed their forward structure, and compromised their back structure because Mychek was also had an ankle injury. So, yeah, absolutely, I do agree with you there with your key men, your big key men, being what your team is built around.
Hey, I want to ask you a question, right? I'm going to throw some stats out to you. Tell me which midfielder from Collingwood racked up these stats on the weekend. 23 disposals, 4 kicks, 11 handballs, 3 marks, and 10 tackles.
Is that the captain, Scott Pendlebury?
No, it isn't Scott Pendlebury. I'll give you one more guess, and then I'm going to add in one more stat, which will just completely blow your mind.
All right, go.
48 hitouts.
Really?
Yeah. I looked at that, and it's always been between Grundy and Gawn for All Australian. And Grundy goes out and plays a game like that, and then the big MG, the big number 11 for the D's goes out, and we'll get into his stats because some of his stats he's pulled out this year are nothing short of extraordinary. But 48 hitouts on top of those statistics, but the 10 tackles, he's had the most tackles on the ground, and he's a ruckman. So he's taking his game to another level.
He has. Now, let's do a bit of housekeeping first. Richmond, 16-9, 105 to Collingwood, 12-5, 77. So a 28-point win to Richmond. So continue, please.
Sorry about that. A couple of things. Collingwood won the disposal count, the free kick count. They had 11 more clearances. They also had more contested possessions, a lot more tackles, and they also doubled the amount of hitouts.
Yes.
So they were doing lots of things right, but they're just around the ground. Richmond was just too strong. And once again, to explain that last quarter.
Yeah, and what's fascinating is everyone keeps saying that Collingwood doesn't have who they played, they've only beaten one top eight team this season. But I still think their game plan stacks up. I still think it does.
You can only play who they put out in front of you.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not a massive Collingwood fan at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I've been watching them the last couple of weeks, I have actually genuinely been excited by the type of football that they play.
Yes.
And then the thing is, which grinds my gears a little bit, is that they've been speaking to Tom Lynch. You throw Tom Lynch into that team, is that going to be a better thing or is it going to be a worse thing when you've got Mason Cox down there as well? Because he's actually playing good football as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know if the Tom Lynch 1.4?
No.
Something like that?
I reckon it'd be 1.4 to stay, 1.5 to stay. You're probably looking at maybe
1.2.
He's got the home factor.
Jeez, it's a lot of money. It'd be a long-term deal, wouldn't it, as well, you reckon, at that age?
Yeah, I reckon you'd be looking 6 mil over 5.
Oh,
maybe 6.5 over 5. Something's got to give. Richmond are interesting. You know, if they were going down the track of taking him, they'd have to try. They've got Rance on a mil or close to a mil. What's his name? Dusty's already on a good one mil plus. Cochin and Rewald are going to be high. And if you try and slot in him, it's going to squeeze through. Something's going to come out the bottom of the sieve. Something has to be squeezed out.
Yeah. Well, Rewalt just signed a contract extension to 2021 or something.
It's big dollars. It's big dollars, but it's exciting dollars. And these are the sort of things. Because I like, rich players going to clubs because I don't know, and if you can recall, where a big-name gun, rich dollar player has been brought into a team and they've had success.
Yeah, I can give you one.
Which one?
Western Bulldogs.
Who? Tom Boyd?
Tom Boyd, 4 games. Premiership.
Who cares? Yeah, okay. All right, I'll give you that one. But if you have a look at the rest of the list, there wasn't much else that they had. They have to pay it. They've got to pay 95% of the cap, I think it is. So you pay it. But outside of that, when you're taking up that much money for one, maybe two players, the whole a team of champions will always beat a team of champions won't beat a champion team.
Why isn't why isn't North in this conversation? Because every year you hear their war chest. You know, got a war chest of money.
Yeah.
Why aren't North in this conversation?
I've got a feeling that ever since the Kanga Casino shut down at Arden Street, yep, no one wants to go there. If the Kanga Casino was still there and the school portables up on the hill, people would be signing up left, right and centre.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something about North.
Yeah.
They've had a great season, and we'll get onto them shortly. But
we will.
They've also got a bit of an ageing list as well too. Waite.
Yeah.
Waite's there. Higgins is getting a bit older as well.
Yeah.
A couple others. Yeah. Can't remember off the top of my head, but
Jack Siebel, all those sorts of guys.
Yeah, so they haven't got the youth coming through as well too. So you want to be going to a team who has got a little bit of oldness,
yeah,
but the goodness is sitting underneath. And I don't think North are like that at the moment. They don't have that spine. Collingwood didn't have that spine. You know who didn't have a spine on the weekend?
Well, before we do that,
yeah,
Richmond, as I'm being reminded from my father-in-law.
Yeah.
Richmond go on to win their 18th straight game at the MCG, which, Peps,
yep,
unfortunately what that means for you and your beloved team is they knock your guys' record off of 17 wins way back in the 1950s.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, I don't mind records being beaten. Your club holds a record that you took over from us as well too. It was the biggest defeat in an AFL/VFL grand final. So I don't mind records being beaten. Point. That's what records are to be beaten.
I can't remember that game. I cannot remember that game.
Oh, I do.
I don't remember.
I think Stevie Johnson remembers it quite well. I think he had party tricks all day. But who didn't have a spine on the weekend, which was really disappointing, with the Brisbane Lions, who lost to Geelong 18-12, 120 to 11 goals, 12-78.
Yes.
Up until about half time, it was virtually neck and neck, and the Lions were in front.
Yep.
They were down by a couple of goals. I read it the wrong way. But after half time, it was nothing. They've kicked 6 goals to Geelong's 11. The Tomahawks come out and kicked another 7. So that's 14 in 2 weeks.
Yep.
I don't know. Geelong just keep doing what they have to do. It's the old just keep doing what you're doing routine.
I did. And the Cats, I suppose it's, you know, this is the modern game, but, you know, turnovers kill, and the Cats kicked 4 goals from the final term just from pure turnovers.
Yeah. And that's a sign of a young team.
Yep.
You know, I've said it all year, that Brisbane excite me. You can just see that, you know, they've got a spine now. They've just got to get games into these kids. It's all the teams that were playing well a couple of years ago, well, playing well now a couple of years ago. Richmond, Collingwood, Melbourne, your mob to a degree, Port.
Yeah.
Essendon, who have gone through their hard yards as well too, and obviously GWS.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got that beautiful nucleus there, and people now want to go to Brisbane. They couldn't wait to get out of the doors a number of years ago. So I keep saying Chris Fagan has been nothing short of an instrumental decision by the AFL or by the club up there, and it's paid off in spades. You can even start to have, if you have a look at the crowds at Brisbane, they're also increasing, so they're getting good numbers there as well. But Geelong, obviously, they just keep doing what they have to do. It was really good though to see Gary Ablett. He had a really good game again on the weekend. The week before he was a little bit down, but that last quarter on the weekend, he played some fantastic football. And if you have a look at the top three, it was Hawkins, Ablett, Dangerfield. Like, how many times has that happened, especially for the last two this year as well?
Well, Hawkins kicked 7 again.
Yeah.
Lazy 7.
Just a lazy unbelievable. 7.
Unbelievable.
He's kicked 7, yet they've only had 54 inside 50s.
Yeah.
55 inside 50s. That's
super efficient.
That's a great score. But Brisbane had 51. So they didn't go down by much. Free kicks were virtually the same. Clearances were virtually the same. Inside 50 were virtually the same. It was probably 10% more in terms of the contested possessions. I just think the conversion rates from Geelong just outshone what Brisbane did.
Yeah, and it's concerning that McStay for Brisbane was the only multiple goal kick with 2. So that's, you know, they've had a couple. They had a couple up there a couple of years. Sorry, a couple of full forwards up there a couple of years ago. And McStay was the one who decided to, I suppose, stay.
no pun intended on that one.
But to get 2, I suppose from a young forward with a young team, it's not too bad. But to have only one multiple goal kicker for a team is I suppose it's maybe an area that they could look at for 2019.
But here's the thing, and I think that's actually a strength. For them, Because if you can get, so they've had, in terms of goal kickers, they had on the weekend 9 different goal kickers.
Yep. Okay?
Geelong had 7. And 7 of those goals came from Hawkins.
Yep.
You shut Hawkins down, I don't see another big avenue to goal because their midfielders don't kick a lot of goals.
No. No.
So from a from the perspective of Brisbane, that's exciting because as these kids get more games in them, they're going to have longer endurance. They're going to be able to run games out longer and they're going to be able to penetrate not just short kicks into the forward line, they're going to be able to penetrate that 50 on long dashing runs as well.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Geelong's biggest strength, which was last week, is going to be their biggest Achilles heel because over the last couple of weeks, Hawkins has played on Oscar McDonald, who's not the biggest biggest bloke out there.
No.
And who would he have played on the weekend? Would it have been Harris Andrews?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Yep. He's only a young kid as well too. So he's taken apart virtually people who he should. You put him up against someone like a Rance. You put him up against someone like a Davis from GWS. That's not going to be as easy for him. And that's where the danger is going to lie. Even when Melbourne played him a couple of weeks ago, they put Sam Frost onto him and he didn't have as much influence and they put Oscar McDonald back onto him and it opened up again. So I think clubs are starting to work out. You put someone who can go toe-to-toe with Hawkins and someone who's quick off the mark, it's going to be very difficult for them to kick a match-winning score. And so that's why I don't see them as much of a threat in the finals as some of the other teams who have got a greater spread of goal kickers. They're sitting eighth. Yeah, they're doing what they have to do. They keep winning. Can't ask so much more than that.
Is Cam Rainer the lock for what's name, isn't he?
For Rosie Star?
Yes. This year?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. I think, and we're going to talk about this when we get towards the end of the season. You know, Stevenson from Collingwood is the standout. Doty's another standout from Adelaide. Rainer, obviously. But the one that's come up in the last couple of weeks has been Jack Higgins.
And
the reason behind they've said Jack Higgins is he was drafted at a decent level last year. I think he was one of the higher picks that they had.
Yeah.
And he's come into the team, and he's come into a premiership team when someone apparently got injured, got in. I think it might have been Rioli went out.
Yep.
He hasn't just held his spot. He's actually been performing week in, week out, whether it's down forward, whether it's in the midfield. Yeah. And I think people are starting to they think he's all laughs and giggles and, you know, his interviews, etc. But he's actually a really good footballer. And the goal he kicked on the weekend, was it a throw, wasn't a throw? Did JFK get shot on the grassy goal? Was it the CIA? Oh, I don't know. I don't really care. It was a goal in my book. You know, there's sort of things you've got to, you know, love about our game and embrace it, not just, you know, pick, you know, split hairs over it. And I reckon he could be a danger. I don't think he will win it.
No.
I think you've got to put the whole season together.
Has he played a game this season?
He's played a good portion of games throughout the year. I think once he got in, he's kept his spot. And he's been kicking goals. That's the other thing. He hasn't been ones or twos. He's kicked two. So for the course of the year, what's he had over the course of the year? He's played 14 games. He's kicked 11 goals. He's only 76 kilos at 177, so he's my height. I'm 178.
Yeah.
But he just keeps performing. He's consistent. 20 disposals, 7 kicks, 75% efficiency. He had and 14 of those contested. So he's making a presence and he's making a difference to that team.
Yep.
He's keeping some of it. So I don't know if who's going to be the lock for it, but it's exciting to see. It's definitely exciting to see. It's going to be an interesting. Like last year was pretty much a, you know, who won it last year? I can't remember off the top of my head. Listeners, who won? Write it down in the comments if you can remember who won the NAB Rising Star last year.
Well, I can't remember.
We'll find that out as the show goes on. All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. We'll get on that in a moment. You see, we'll just transition into something else. We're going to skip past this one really quickly, but GWS took the Saints on up in Spotless Stadium or Canberra or whatever it was. 13 goals, 886 to 8 goals, 13. Good to see the Saints continuing their stunning form in front of goal. 61 points. I can't believe at one stage that St Kilda were actually winning this game, and then GWS decided to go, okay, no more stuffing around, boys. Let's do what we have to do.
Yeah.
Who do you think had more inside 50s?
GWS?
Wrong. St Kilda. St Kilda won on the weekend. Let's just go through this. They won the clearances.
Mm-hmm.
They won the inside 50s, 60 to 48. They won. They had more contested ball. They had more tackles. They had more hitouts, and still managed to get absolutely flogged by 25 points, considering the game was 86 to 61.
Wow. Okay.
They're shocking. They're shocking. Some questions have to be asked about that, Mom.
But, yeah, look, I know we had a chat last week about it, but, yeah, you're right. You're right. They both had the same scoring shots. They had all that. Mm.
But where's the brightness coming from?
Like, I don't know.
And we'll get on to Carlton in a moment, but as Brendan Bolt would say, the green shoots, they're there. They're there. I don't see any green shoots. There's a drought at St Kilda.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I don't see it. Like, completely. I'm going through their list now and I'm looking at it going, well, they've got 48 blokes named Jack who play in that team. I don't see where the life's going to come from. I can see it with Carlton. I can see it with Brisbane. I can't see it with St Kilda. There's no one who stands out to me and goes, wow, he is a gun. Like an absolute gun. Billings to a degree. Yeah, Seb Ross, he's doing what he needs to do. Gresham, the captain, you know, had a great game on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Geary once again. But outside of that, there's nobody else that's – you sit there and go, wow, they've got it going on.
No, it's the same name. Stephen Ross, Geary, Carlisle, Hickey, Steele. Like those names are always going to see for St Kilda every week.
Yep, and that's not going to change. Yet, if you flip this around, have a look at GWS, they're top five, or, you know, the fantasy football, if you want to go by that, because that puts everything together. Whitfield, Kelly, Taranto, Coniglio, Hopper. Now, if you go back a week, those names would be different.
Yep.
It's got this ability for... when guys are down, guns come through. Like, Collinson's had his best year for the year. Whitfield's had his best year ever. Yet you've got people like Toby Green who have been out through injury for so long, and they're still, you know, they're just coming back. Mm-hmm. Steele's been down. Even the good, the Led Zeppelin Harry Himmelberg, the air blimp, he's doing what he has to do. So even big old Dawson Simpson. Like, he's had 19 hitouts on the weekend, and he's been so far behind. He gave Tom Hickey a bit of a run about 26.
Yeah.
So while teams are going backwards, they just continue to get better. They are, and they've got that bit more maturity about them. I just noticed it last week when it got a bit of pressure. They'd slowed the game down. They did what they had to do.
Yeah.
They're maturing as a group.
Yeah. Yeah. And even he's sure, like, 25 disposals again. Like, he just, you know, he left Collingwood because of behavioural issues.
Buckley,
Under the, I'm glad you said it.
I'll say it. Yeah, Buckley.
Me having a wife as a Collingwood supporter, we're going to hear that. But but Leon Cameron, I reckon, went in there at halftime and he would have kicked their ass because the second half was a different team.
Oh, it was.
Second half, it was a different team, completely different. So. Yeah, that was evident of a team who I'd say probably have similar age list profile, I reckon. But one is going up, one is going down. It's almost like that. What's that Superfunds ad on you see on TV?
Oh, yeah. Someone's on the escalator going up, and someone's going down. After half time, they've come out. They've kicked 8 goals to 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's given them a rip and they've responded. What more could you ask for? But that was a game that they should have won. They did win. They move on to next week.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and we're talking at how much of a difference 1 week can make.
Yes.
The mob that we're going to talk about next, geez, didn't they go from Belgian chocolate to, unfortunately, Castlemaine Rock in the space of a week, the Gold Coast Suns 5-14. 44
yes.
Mm-hmm. To the green shoots themselves, 12 goals, 7-79. I was actually, look, I've given Carlton a bit of stick throughout the entire year. Listeners, you know I have. I've called them Carl shit. This week they're Carlton because I didn't pick them. I don't think anyone picked them.
Nope.
And they were gorgeous on the weekend. They were gorgeous. Yeah. I watched the highlights of this game. And you know how we were talking about how I can't see it with St Kilda?
Yeah.
I can see it with Carlton.
Yep.
They have got quality that just needs to be fertilised and nurtured over the next few years, and they are going to grow into something beautiful. And I just want the supporters to stick with them. I reckon the coach, he has just stayed the course the entire year. They've realised we can't play these old GWS people that we bought in. We've got to play the kids. And they're reaping the rewards from it.
Yep.
Well, I will say one thing. Jesse Hogan, right? He did win
the Rising Star. You can't bring Jesse Hogan into this.
I will. He won the Rising Star a couple of years ago. All right? And he had an amazing season for his first year. And the guy who came second, Patrick Cripps, you could have said it was a 50-50. Yeah. If this guy doesn't just make you want to turn the TV on and watch football, nothing will.
Mark Murphy put on a show, didn't they?
They put on a show. Cripps has had 37, 16 and 16 kicks, 21. Mm-hmm. And Murphy's had 36 with 23 and 13.
Yep.
And they basically said, all right, young boys, jump on our backs. We're going to take you to the promised land.
Yep. 13 contested possessions, 30 contested possessions, 13 clearances and a goal each. Yep.
Yeah. And they dominated. They dominated the inside 50s. They drew on the contested possessions. Yep. They lost on the tackle count, which is great because if you've got the ball, you won't be tackling. But they've had 60.
Tackling where? I think defensive tackling, when you're inside your 50 tackling players, that's good. I think over the ground tackling.
Yeah. But the way that I look at it is that if you've had 10% less, you've got more of the ball, and it showed.
Yeah.
And I was watching the score at one stage, and at halftime, you're looking at an exciting scoreline of 3-6 to 3-4.
Yeah.
Carlton have gone the whooshka. and they've come out and kicked another 9-3, and Gold Coast limped across the line and decided to go out and kick 2-8.
Yes.
They've got trouble up there, Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And they've said on the news on tonight, I think you need to give them a priority pick more than Carlton.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't think Carlton need a priority pick. I know that there's been some. You have a look. If you go from their normal lineups as you would have, and this is the spine that they put out on the ground in terms of the nominated positions. They started with Wiedering at fullback, Marchbank, Cripps, Curno, McKay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. That is a spine that's going to be there for 10 years.
Yep.
Gold Coast don't have that.
Nope.
Because both their captains look like they're potentially leaving this year. And St Kilda, that's a spine they would dream. They're not going to get it. So those green shoots, I'm really excited. I'm genuinely excited for Carlton, even though I've put them down. It's a show. It's all about entertainment. But I was really, really proud of them to get that win on the weekend because I didn't pick them at all. And I don't think there was people who did.
Yep. To hit on a player that you touched on last week, I suppose the only real bad thing there for Carlton is the injury to Jacob Wiedering. That's sad to see because he is, he was the new young hope coming in, and he's been smashed pillar to post by coaches and by the media.
Yeah.
And he's copped a leg injury and it didn't look good. But he was walking around the end of the game, but it didn't look good. So he didn't return after his whack.
But he played a really good game. He still managed to get in the best. Managed to get in the best after all of that. One thing that did make me feel a little bit queasy, though, was Swallow with his concussion. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see what happened, but he had to be dragged off the field. That's not what you want to see.
Yeah, Patrick Cripps got him, didn't he?
Yep. And there was no maliciousness in it. It just one of those things that happens in football.
Yep. But Charlie Kernan, lucky to get off today. Did you read about that?
Oh, yeah, he got off. And to be honest, when you look at it, it's pretty soft.
He put his arm out, though. He actually did.
He put his arm out. He didn't hurt him. It's a fine. Look, I agree it's a fine. To give someone a week for that's pretty average. But if you have a look what Stephen May did...
That's 10 weeks for Lizzo, for Lindsay.
Well, the only man in the AFL, VFL history who's been able to influence four rule changes. Yeah. But you look at, you know, Stephen May, you couldn't think of anything worse to go to Gold Coast this year.
Yeah.
He goes and takes out Ed Curno, and he's out for what? He got 2 weeks for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're playing Melbourne this week. I'm sitting there going, who's going to be playing on Tommy McDonald? Who's going to be playing on, or I don't know if Hogan will play this week. And we'll get on the D shortly. But, you know, in a week where they need every piece of help that they can for him to go ahead and do that, it wasn't the right thing.
Yeah, correct, correct. 2017 NAB Rising Star, Andrew McGath.
Yeah,
51 votes.
Oh, so obviously it was, and that was the number, they got that number one draft pick, didn't they? Because they did dodgies and had all their players suspended and ended up last and got a number one draft pick. Jeez, it's a lot easier than tanking.
It's much easier.
Don't tank, get tank.
That should be a tagline for this podcast.
Oh, don't, yeah. Hey, that's it. That's this week's headline. This week's podcast title will be Don't Tank, Just Get Dank. All right. One team that doesn't need danking, and let's just say there was almost a little bit of self-spanking after the game, were the Ds. 13-12-90 to the Crows. 10 goals, 17-77. Look, from a Melbourne supporter's perspective, that first quarter, I thought, here we go. Especially when they were 20 points to nil down.
Yeah.
They were able to creep themselves back into the game. And I can tell you now that third quarter is what they do. They're just able to hit the scoreboard really quickly.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch the last quarter. I couldn't watch it. I was watching Netflix. I was watching SBS. I was trying to find world movies. I was trying to find something on YouTube to watch. I ended up watching Mission Impossible Rogue Nation for about the 47th time. Mind you, I did have the phone there, and I was really tentative with refreshing the screen. I had my wife and my daughter out in the front room. They've kicked another one. I'm like, shut up, shut up.
Yeah.
Because of the week before. I think this week I was prepared for whatever happens, because I expect us to beat Geelong the week before.
Yeah.
I didn't expect us to beat Adelaide. So to get that result was just overwhelming. And if anyone's had a chance to see my Facebook page with my reaction after the game, it was a sight to be seen.
Yes.
But if you haven't, I will be uploading it to the Lace Out YouTube page to see what my reaction was after the D's got across the line against Adelaide. I just don't know where to start. But I think that the three things that really stood out for me, if we're going from game day on Channel 7, was Max Gawn is the best player in the league right now.
Yep.
The best player in the league right now. Number two is Clayton Oliver.
Yep.
If he does not win, he will not win a Brownlow in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win two or three.
Yep.
And the third thing is that Tex Walker.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say it, but put a fork in you, son. You are done.
Ooh.
He's cooked, mate. Just, they're not going to make finals. He's not playing well. He's, I don't know if it's a mental thing, if it's a physical thing. But yeah, it was really disappointing, especially the way that they started. Yeah, because you know, I actually thought one of the things I really took out of the game was watching Malera play. He was amazing at halfback. He kept them in the game. He kept them in the game for probably that first half, and then it just went to the shite.
He was spinning. He was twisting. He was blocking. He was pushing. He was doing dusty fends off. He was amazing.
There was one bit. It was in the second quarter.
Yeah, on the back of the square.
Back of the square, where he went through like five people. It was like, you know what it reminded me of? It was like it's like when you're playing Pac-Man. And all the ghosts come at you at the one time, and you're able to get away really quickly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. Like all the waka, 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 waka. And he was just going around. He got the power pill, and he was straight out. But, you know, Max Gawn, he's had 66 hit outs.
It's huge.
It's 66 hit outs.
Yeah.
It is mind boggling. He's had 303 hit outs to advantage this year.
Wow.
No other team combined has had more than 250.
Yep.
So that just shows how much of an influence he has around the ball. And if you couple that with good old Ginger Ninja Clayton Oliver, good old puppy fat, who people had no idea who this bloke was when he first came to the club, who has streamlined his entire physique.
Yep.
He's the fastest player in league history to get to 1,000 handballs, six games quicker than Diesel. He was known as probably the handballer ever.
Yep. And he had 14 clearances on the weekend and 25 contested possessions.
And he's only 21.
Yeah, but we know the rule. We know this is a rule of the AFL, Peps.
What is it?
Rangers don't win Brownlows.
Michael Voss?
Is he a Ranger? I hear he's too. But Lingy?
Yep.
You can't be a brown though and have that white skin under those booming lights.
No, you've got a fair point there. What about Acker?
Acker, wasn't he a white?
That was because he bleached it. But he was a ginger ninja. So there's two.
You've named two. You're right. You've got me there. But I just don't know how he will look on TV on a medal, getting that over his neck. With his oily, white, pasty skin under those big hot lights.
I think you might have to take a quick trip over to that Southeast Asian country fake tan before Brownlow night. But he can't do too much because we'll be playing in a grand final as well too. did you see much of the game at all?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Did you Jesse Hogan? What do you think's going on there?
With what part? Not kicking goals? Or what do you mean?
He just didn't look himself. I know apparently he had gastro through the week. He just wasn't moving well. And it was almost like he was just out there. Like he was just out there.
Well, he kicked one goal for forward. I suppose that's...
Yeah, that's but that was off a free kick. He's been a shell of his former self the last couple of weeks. You don't know if he's playing something, if there's other things on his mind, etc. But the great thing is that you've got big Tommy McDonald down there who...
Yeah.
You know, you got to understand, this bloke was playing fullback for goodness knows how many years. The D's decided to throw him up forward this year, and he's kicked the most goals in the AFL since round six this year.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to put things. He has been enormous. But they're just doing everything right at the moment.
And Malksham. Malksham as well.
Does he bring the milkshakes to the yard?
After Malksham kicked that game sealer for you last week.
Yep.
You know, another two this week. And Bailey Fritsch, like I caught it last week, can go back and can be very solid, go forward and kick two goals this week. So
he's gone. But even, you know, one of the players that I was really impressed with who needed a game because he'd been quite quiet all year was Petrarca. He only had 21, but he had five tackles in there. But just some of his presence and his marking around the ground, he almost took the spot that Hogan was going to be would be normally doing. And so it was really good for him. But, you know, you've got to give it, you know, kudos. You know, we're talking about snaps and claps.
Yep, absolutely.
That's for Jordan Lewis. 300 games of AFL football. You know, it takes a lot to play 300 games of football full stop. It takes a lot to play over 370 like yours truly did. But did you see the two goals he kicked?
Outside the 50.
Oh, I don't think we've seen him kick over 50 in the entire time he's played AFL. And he's kicked them from exactly the same spot. So it was just exciting to see. It was just exciting to see. Where's Adelaide right now? What are they still?
Adelaide's interesting. Grand finals last year to miss the finals this year because they're done. Thank you for that, Melbourne, for knocking Adelaide out. Being a Port Adelaide supporter myself, knocking them out has been great. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. They Tex... I think what you said before about Tex being done, probably as a captain. I reckon that's it for him.
Yeah.
Rory Sloane to be the captain now.
If you saw the reaction that he got on the weekend when he, I think it was the week before when he had a shot at goal and the crowd was going absolutely Burko for him. I totally agree. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So the D's have got Gold Coast this week. Which is great. That could be a tale of two cities. They'll either do what they normally do and just win. I don't think they're going to be able to lose that one. I think they've just got too much quality all over the park.
Yeah.
Theoretically, though, they should go and destroy Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And it should be over by 100 because they don't stand for anything at the moment.
And if you do that, I reckon you'll jump Port then on the ladder and get to fourth position where if I asked you that question about 3 weeks ago, you would have said no chance.
No, I wouldn't have said we would have been playing finals altogether.
No. And another, and just another again to show, I suppose, the class. I never thought I'd just say that 5 years ago about Melbourne. but the class of Melbourne, they put in 15 minutes of football in the third quarter and hit the Jets, and just it was all over.
Yeah. And I think that's their the biggest strength and their Achilles heel is that if they can't rest on the fact that they can't do that all the time.
Yep.
But I still think, you know, Lever going out has left a massive hole.
Yep.
A massive hole for us, but they're just doing their job. Hibbert will be back in a couple of weeks. Viney will be back in a couple of weeks. You know, Viney's had the most clearances of any player out of the centre square this year.
I believe you may have said that stat about, I don't know, every podcast you've done this year.
No, I only found that out today. No,
really?
I only found that one out today, which is surprising considering he missed the first, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
He's doing the right thing as well too. Hey, you know who's also doing the right thing? North Melbourne. Do they just keep knocking you every week?
Well, against the Eagles for sure. Yeah, they do. No, they're Jekyll and Hyde.
I don't think they're Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they've won 12 goals, 9-81 to 6 goals, 5-41. Mm-hmm. And I think it just goes to show that you know what you're going to get with North. I did pick them to beat West Coast. And I think when Kennedy went out, that was it. North loved playing down there.
Yep.
And I'd love them to make finals. I don't think they can, based on the ladder. I think they've left their run just a little bit too late. But, you know, put your hand up if you thought they were going to finish last. I did. I actually thought these two teams were the ones who were going to finish right down the bottom, I must admit. They're sitting one game and percentage. So they're virtually two games out with four games to go. So it's going to be really difficult for them. Mind you, and they've got Brisbane up in Brisbane this week.
Yep.
But they just win the games they have to win, and unfortunately drop the ones that they want. You know, they're a team I'd like to see make finals over someone like Geelong or Hawthorn.
Yep. And North looked like North just dominated the Eagles so much because you know we're at 10th versus 2nd here. On the ladder, they've got no chance of, you know, no need to even be in that same realm as them. But defensively, they held West Coast with those two big forwards, Kennedy and McGovern up there in the fourth quarter to no goals. You know, that's to hold two big forwards out, that's rare against West Coast. That's a rare thing.
But West Coast don't have anyone to kick it to. When you don't have Kennedy and you don't have Darling working there together, they don't have anyone to kick it to. And it makes it a challenge for them. And you can't have the small guys running around all the time. You need to have that presence. And that's why it's worked with Richmond, with Riewoldt. It's worked with Collingwood, with Mason Cox. It's working with Melbourne by having Tommy McDonald and Hogan. So they can switch it around a fair bit. It's working with North because they've got Big Ben Brown down there. It's got Hawkins. Unfortunately, when you lose that big presence... because they're not just taking, they're just clunking the big marks. They're being able to bring it down on the smaller brigade are kicking the goals. But when you haven't got that, it makes it a lot more difficult, and the big backman can just pick him off time after time after time. And that's what North did on the weekend.
Well, I don't know why West Coast thought to not bring down some of their big players if they could. Like, they rested Shuey and Kennedy injured. Do you know what that injury is? Do you know what
Kennedy?
It is?
No, not off the top of my head.
And Jeddah? Maybe a sprain or a strain, maybe.
Heart. But they're
three key players. And you think to take them down there to North Melbourne because West Coast, well, they're still second, I suppose. It doesn't matter if they lose or not. But North Melbourne are pretty formidable down in Tassie.
They're good down there. But they got smashed over the ground. They got obliterated everywhere. Absolutely. If you put things in perspective, Cunnington's at 39, and he's just getting better with age. He's Grange.
Yep.
Ahern, who virtually GWS gave away to North because of his 2D reconstructions, has played an absolute corker of a game. Some bloke named Clark has had 28, I've never heard about.
All right. Don't know.
They've had seven players with over 20 possessions.
Yeah.
West Coast had four.
Yeah.
And that was Yeo and Redden. Hearn and Gaff. They're going to lose Gaff next year because he's coming to Melbourne.
Yeah.
North, I know no one wants to go there, but they're exciting. And I just love the honesty that you get from the Scott brothers. Yeah, you know, people get frustrated by their antics in the box. I get all that.
Yep.
But no one would, A, would say it to their faces because you'd be on your back looking at the stars. That's how quick they'd knock you out. But they just keep bringing it every single week. They don't have the talent as some other clubs do, but they just get their players to play for them.
Will North make the eight, you reckon? They've got a pretty good run home with all the teams below them.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, got a good percentage.
Look, I'll put it this way. If Sydney can drop from fourth to ninth in a week, there's no reason why North can't jump a couple of spots.
Yeah.
They've got teams that you were saying that are underneath them.
Yeah.
Hey, anything can happen. We know over these last few weeks, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's not a sort of a dead rubber season, is it, for the last couple of games?
And that's why I was rapt that the AFL did not start to trial these whatever rules are in some of these.
The 11-4 or the 16-4, if it was.
The 6-6-6 and all that sort of stuff and extended goal squares. Because I don't know about you, but the quality of the football in the last month, I reckon, has been exceptional. And there's still another 4 weeks to go. So that's going to be another 4 weeks of good football.
Yeah.
And I think we've overreacted because of the amount of crap games that we've had. It's as simple as that. You don't get that many crap games, but you've had good games. The last few weeks have been really exciting to watch, and it's been really good to be able to come here on a Monday night or a Tuesday night to be able to talk about the football over the last couple of weeks, because there's been more positives than negatives.
Yes.
Usually we're talking about how crap the game has been or this was woeful. But no, every single game has had something that you want to talk about.
Yep, I completely agree.
Exactly right. Hey, you wouldn't want to be talking. You definitely wouldn't be talking. Well, hopefully you're able to talk after you've thawed out, because it was about 2 degrees down there at Ballarat. But your mom, Port Adelaide, took on the Doggies at their second home of Mars Stadium down at Ballarat. And no pun intended, took the chocolates. 11 goals, 12, 78 to 5 goals, 4, 34.
Correct. We did definitely work, rest, and then play. That was boom, boom, Tish again. Bringing it on. So 44-point win, but it might have been 140-point win in those conditions. Yeah. 6 degrees felt like 1 degree, blowing 35-kilometer winds and sideways rain and all that sorts of things. So
did you go down and watch it?
No, because I like my life. I've sat at games watching Port in miserable, crappy conditions back in 2012 and 11, and it's no fun. I didn't go down. But when Charlie, you hear the interview on one of the Melbourne Sports Entertainment Networks, talking about his conditions. He's a Cairns boy.
Yeah.
And he said he was down there, and he's never been so cold his whole life that he said he couldn't even make fists. Because it was hurting to make a fist.
Yeah.
And then the game was pretty much dominated by Port. I thought maybe up for a bit of a challenge at quarter time.
Well, at half time it was a shootout. It was 4 goals straight to 4 goals 4. But in those conditions, like you said, it should have been like 8 goals each. A goal was worth 2. And Western Bulldogs, you know, as they've done over the last, which is not this year and last year, they've done nothing in the second half. They've kicked 1 goal 4.
Yeah.
In total, you've kicked 7 goals 8.
Yeah.
You have destroyed them.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, where do you want to start? You want to talk about your mob first?
Let's go with my mob. Let's have a crack at it. So Dixon, let's talk about last week. Let's carry last week's conversation from structure I was talking about to this week's.
All right.
And the difference a ruckman makes to the structure, especially for us. Bringing Paddy back in, it means that Dixon doesn't have to play in that ruck role. So you can be at the stay-home forward, and then you can build your forward line from that. So you've got either Robbie Gray, or you've got Chad Wingard, or you've got Motlop, or you've got a few players going through there to be the crummer. When you're playing Dixon in the ruck, you lose that. Or you put an Ollie Wines in the ruck, something like that. You lose that structure. So just having a big, tall person like Ryder doesn't even have to be effective here. That's to advantage. It just has to be someone to compete. Means that we can keep that forward structure working.
Yep. You need that because it just allows players to focus on the game that they need to play.
Yep.
I will say one thing, and I can't thank you enough for taking Jack Watts. because for the draft pick that you gave us for him,
yep,
we got Bailey Fritch.
Yep. Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Yep. Yep. At least he looks good in a Port Adelaide jumper.
Let's be frank. Anyone would look good in a Port Adelaide jumper. I would almost say it's probably one of the best jumpers. It just looks mean. It looks sexy.
And black slimming.
And black is slimming. Exactly right.
My 1, 2, 3 for the game would have been, one would have been Ollie Wines, 2, Charlie Dixon, 3, the microwave on the bench.
That would have gone down to the hot water bottle, do it. No, that would have gone to the boot starter.
That was the boot starter.
That was funny. I don't know if you saw that. With the beanies on and the jackets.
Beanies and jackets and the microwave on the bench. BT on the weekend could not get over it. They kept talking about the microwave on the bench.
And I think they were also getting stuck into Daisy Pierce because she got off the boundary line and went into the box for the second half of the game.
I can't. You know what? Can you? Ballarat's freezing, Pep. You been there?
Yeah, I've been there.
It is freezing.
It's
the coldest city in the world.
It's ridiculous.
It's the coldest place in Australia. I swear to God, it's so cold.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to move down there? Look, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But you'd be wanting to have a Carnarvon in your house, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to be heated by gas. You'd be paying $1,000 a month.
No.
It's a joke down there. But what's not a joke is the Doggies.
Yeah.
Can you believe this team won a flag 2 years ago?
Serious voice on. No, I actually cannot. This team is... not even a shadow of itself, is it anymore?
No, they're finished. And the thing is, I can't put a finger on it.
No.
Is there dissension amongst the ranks? That's what you tend to hear. Has Beveridge lost his touch with the players? Have the players decided, hey, you know, I've got my glory, that's all I need?
I don't know. I don't get it, because when you've got an ex-Port Adelaide player as your best on ground for the day, they are just... I don't know where to start with Western Bulldogs. As I said, is it the coach? Is it...
But they've been saying that he might even be on the move this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. One thing I have noticed, though, is... You know, Trengo was in the best. McRae, again.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Hunkley.
I don't understand why, you know, Mitch Wallace apparently doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you look at how the Tigers have come back after their grand final win, and you have a look at how the Doggies, and they're chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to continually get worse. I can't see it getting better, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe next year they're going to be in the bottom. Who knows? Like, could they fall lower than Carlton?
No. I think Carlton have probably got maybe one more semi-average year in them, and then they'll see the turnaround, because they've just got too many kids.
Yeah.
They just get beaten up.
Yeah.
A bit like GWS in their heyday. But I reckon they're another year out, but you can see it there. I just don't see it with the Doggies.
No. Jack McRae, 36 touches and 12 clearances. Like, look at the stats. I don't think they cleared the ball much more than 12.
No, they're woeful. They're woeful. So I think it's going to be another challenging few weeks. I think some of their players, they know they've got 4 weeks. They're off to the Bali. They're off to the Bing Tang and the Disco Biscuits, and then back to preseason. So I think a lot of them are starting to plan. Some of them are going to have to plan retirements, and some of them are going to be planning interseason trips. There's one mob, though, Hawthorn.
Yep.
I can't stand them.
Yep.
They go over to Perth. They smash... a smash Fremantle, 7 goals, 11:53 to 17:10, 112. So that's a good another 10 goal victory.
Yeah,
they're beating the teams that they have to, and they're going to slide into the eight. And geez, why doesn't anyone tag Mitchell?
I know. I was actually waiting for you to say that.
Why doesn't anyone tag him?
I was about to explode because I was just looking at my sheet again, and I'm just going, Tom Mitchell again is having another 40-plus disposal, 9 games.
Do you know?
Because it just goes on.
So there's 18 teams in the comp. There's 18 teams in the comp.
Yeah.
Now, not Melbourne. There's 16 teams out there that are going to cost Max Gawn a Brownlow. Because no one tags him.
I don't understand it. I was just looking through on my sheet and I'm going, how do you not tag this guy? Are they not listening to you and I, Peps, enough?
Oh no. They don't want it to affect their team defense.
They need to listen to you.
That's working really well.
They need to listen to you and I.
For Christ's sake. Because the next best is 27, which is Liam Shields. Oh, sorry, I take that back. The next best was Jagger O'Meara with 33.
And
then there was no one else in the 30s. Excuse the term, it's shit. It's insanity how you can let a guy run around and do what he does. And he's kicking goals now. That's the thing. He's not just racking up posies. He does handball with a fair bit. I think it's about it's almost 1.5 to 1 handball to kick ratio.
Yeah.
He still gets a lot of it, and obviously, but he's setting everybody else up. You got to cut that off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just stupid.
I don't know. Like he's like if you're playing Pokemon, he's like the evolved form of. He's like the evolved form
Bulbasaur.
Of,
we'll go Bulbasaur.
No, I'm saying the evolved form of Clayton Oliver. He's like Clayton. No, because you talk about Clayton Oliver being this nugget of a machine. He's like the evolved form of Clayton Oliver. He gets more disposals, more touches, more contested, more goals, and more meters gained, and more tackles.
He does not get more meters gained.
He doesn't?
No. He doesn't get as much. In the last few weeks, he has, but if you have a look over the course of the year, Mitchell hasn't had as much in terms of meters gained than Oliver. But, it's just dumb. It's dumb football. You know, in the good old days, it would have been, all right, Wallace, over to Mitchell. Don't let him get the ball. If he bends, you punch him. If he jumps, you pinch him. Right. If he tackles, you cork him. Now, don't go near him because our team defense, well, it's just stupid because they're going out and punching teams.
Yeah.
All right, you've got to shut him down. Fremantle, good to see that good old Ross Lyon has once again extracted every breath of life out of a team and has left them with a carcass, now known as the Fremantle Dockers.
Yep. Well, look at these players. Look at these in their best. Mundy, Neil, Langdon, Brayshaw, and Hill. These are players from their premiership team almost.
Yeah. Well, Brayshaw.
Premiership playing team, not premiership team.
Sorry. Grand final losing team. I know where you're coming from. Yeah.
Yes.
They are the Fremantle Shockers. I'm going to say it. They are worse than Carlton. Yeah.
Don't say that because we lost to these guys a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but don't worry. Essendon lost to Carlton. I just come out with that one every week. It's great.
Yeah.
But they've got talent. Like, they have got talent. They've got Hill Brothers, Fife, Neil, Mundy, Brandon Matera when he goes, Michael Walters. They've got gun players in there. They've got premiership players in Joel Hamling as well and the Hills. Now they're nothing.
Yeah.
They are nothing. And Ross did it at St Kilda. He milked them for all he's worth, and now he hasn't set them up for the future, and he's going to do the same.
Yeah.
People don't fear Fremantle. Fremantle used to be a fortress. It's not anymore.
No. And free kick Cawthorn again, they won the free kick count. I was going to just keep talking about that if I could.
Oh, free kick Cawthorn? Yeah. Hashtag free kick Cawthorn.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're sucky. But, I will give a couple of shout-outs, though, really quickly. Lockie Neal, he just can – every week, he's got to be All-Australian again this year, you think? 36 touches, 3 tackles, 105 fantasy points. Yep. But I'm really excited. Andrew Brayshaw, first season, 25 again, 4 tackles, 3 marks, 3 frees to get 4. Egg Langdon, another young bloke. So they've got something there. But I just don't think the message is getting through, or something's going wrong, because Fremantle are, I think the anchor is weighing them down, unfortunately, Hawthorn are going to make another finals appearance because they've got another. I think their last four games have got teams that are in the bottom half of the bottom eight. They haven't got much of a challenge. So the only way that they're not going to make it is if the teams above them keep winning. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
All right. Now.
Yes.
This week's great pretender. the great pretender. We mentioned them earlier, and it goes out to a mob. I got to meet one of their legends last week, which was Bob Skilton. Terrific gentleman. Gave me 5 minutes of his time at a lunch just to have a bit of a chat about football. He and Kevin Murray were there just having a chat, and I was just fortunate. And I got to hear his thoughts on the great game. And I reckon he'd be pretty disappointed deep down. He did get a statue at the Lakeside Oval in his honour. But, yeah, like I said, he'd be pretty disappointed with the way the Swans have fallen in a heap this year. At the start of the year, I thought, hold on, where are they going to go? But when they'd lost four games at the SCG this year, you know things were on the slide. They lost to Gold Coast a couple of weeks ago. That we didn't see that. We thought that might have been a blip on the radar. But the way they got decimated against Essendon on Friday night is that they're gone. And the legacy of all those finals appearances in a row, grand final appearances, and also premierships is gone, and it's a shame to see, but it had to happen. And I think Horse has to go. I think Horse has to go back to the stables. I think he needs to. He needs to breed. He needs to go into stud and produce some more foals to get them back onto that SCG track, because they need some regeneration. I think they're due for a spell. And
what about a coach?
No, I still think he's got...
No new coach?
No, he... Like I said, one soldier goes down, they bring another one in. I think they've got that, and they're doing that. They're just able to pick rookies up time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, it just comes down to the fact that the older statesmen, they've got to go out to the Wild Blue Yonder and be put down.
Yep.
Be put out of their misery, and they just haven't got enough of that youth coming through. So they're going to have maybe a couple of lean years, I think. Yep. I think they'll bounce quicker back. But based on their last couple of weeks and what happened on Friday night, the Sydney Swans, you are this week's great pretender. A siren has gone, Jamie. Can you believe we're already done for another week?
I know. And I've got one question for you, Peps.
Yes.
How many potato cakes could you eat in one session? That was a question that we had from our audience.
How many potato cakes?
Ooh, in one session.
Look, I'll be frank. It's probably maybe two.
Two.
And I'll tell you why. I'm not a big potato cake eater. But if you gave me scallops, or if you gave me dim sims or maybe the fried shrimp, mate, you're looking double digits easily. Double digits.
All right.
Steam dimmies, what about you for the steam dimmies?
Steam dimmies, I reckon I can do probably 12.
12 steam dimmies?
Yeah. How about you?
Probably maybe go around about eight.
Eight.
Yeah. I'm not a big eater. I'm more of a quality than a quantity side of things. But and if you want to talk about quality, this podcast has been another quality installment of Lace Out. Like I said, listeners, your feedback over the last number of weeks has been awesome. Keep listening. Like I said, every Tuesday night we're going to be coming out with our review. It's enough fluff on the radio these days. You don't want to listen to that. Listen to a real two guys having a chat about football.
Yep.
Have a listen. Share us out. Tell us how good we are. iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Cast, the Anchor Network. We're everywhere. Stitcher.
Castbox.
We are everywhere. We are like the plague. We are the daddos of the podcast world. We're everywhere. But like I said, and if you haven't seen, we've launched a new logo, if anyone's seen it. Adds a little bit more class with a football. Lace out. So that's it from me, your host, Christopher Pepper, my co-host, Jamie Wallace. Once again, I have to ask you, Jamie, how do you like your football?
This time I like it lace out.
Awesome. Have a great week, all. We'll see you this time next week. Have a great week.
See ya.